And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Expository Thursday. Expository Thursday. As we work together to know the letter better into the narrative of the Book of Acts, we travel to understand the things the Lord requires of us as we learn to apply God's timeless truths in our lives. First, as we dive into Acts 17, we witness Paul and Silas traveling and arriving at Thessalonica. Ooh, verse 2 of chapter 7 mentions that it's Paul's custom, and he has an essential custom. He operates a particular way on a regular basis. That's important for you and I to get that phrase, it was Paul's custom. The reason is customs and traditions can be beneficial in our endeavors, but Jesus cautioned us against the problem of valuing those customs and traditions more than the objective of drawing closer to God or prioritizing it over God's word. So therein lies a big diff. Next, for three consecutive weeks, Paul's presenting interpretations of the scriptures. He explained the prophecies from the Old Testament concerning the Messiah and the resurrection. Paul did not rely on just flashy presentations or multimedia. He wasn't dropping the PowerPoint. Hey, I used a PowerPoint on Sunday. Paul wasn't dropping the PowerPoint. He was just demonstrating through the scripture that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, culminating in the resurrection from the dead. Never forget this ever. The heart of the gospel lies in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And finally, as it happens, many people believed and were persuaded. Well, they were like, yeah. However, when individuals change their allegiances, those on the losing side tend to become a little jealous and create as many problems as possible. In this case, the Jewish leaders instigated a mob riot involving worthless and uncharacteristic people. Here's the key. They targeted the friends of Paul and Silas. They couldn't get to Paul and Silas, so they targeted their friends. Hey, guess what? Jesus is our friend, which is why they target you and me.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. And we have somebody on the phone. We're going to bring him on in about 2 minutes and we're going to pray for him, talk to him. We're going to talk about surviving, living, and prevailing because we all need that in our faith. Politics, entertainment, and current events, we'll see. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. I mean, just so much more. So we're asking you, what do you think? Now, you can email us during the show, okay? That's cool. You can totally do that. So people like to do that, and you should be able to do that. It takes me a little longer because I'm slow to respond, but email david@hemusincrease.org. You can text us live during the show using your phone, your smartphone, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us live, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Just keep in mind, when you make that call, you'll end up talking to Dynamite D.
Hello, lucky person. You got the number right, because you are talking to Kid a Dynamite.
Dynamite! All right, Dynamite D is somebody that you can laugh or cry with.
I'll take that, Dave.
That's a good one right there. All right. So we do have a brother on the phone. We want to send him on through and give him a chance to talk. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hello, it's Dr. Jesse.
Hi, Dr. Jesse. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm here in the Metroplex. I live here in the Dallas Metroplex. And believe it or not, all these Christians and churches, I'm still having a little trouble connecting with some fellowship, having consistent fellowship, people I can pray for, people who can pray for me, you know, the Christian family that we all need. And I think it's going to become more important as the government probably begins to oppress the church more, I'm guessing, in the future.
Yeah, I think that's all. You can almost bet that if you had the opportunity to bet and it wouldn't be a problem, I would. But I'm just saying. So you really are looking for connecting to some additional fellowships. Is that the idea?
That's right.
All right. So
that's right, buddy.
And that the big thing there, and I want people to understand, this is something that the reason I like this. Okay, it's not that Dr. Jesse's going, well, I don't like my church. It's like, nope, I just need some additional time with other Christians too, just to broaden, just to help, just to kind of give me fresh perspectives. There is zero wrong with that. In fact, we tried to institute a program. It's not didn't work the way we wanted it to, but it had to do with all the pastors visiting all the other churches throughout all the communities, just so they would understand. Just they'd understand the diversity that's in the body and the blessing that's in the body. I mean, it's just such a great idea. But anyhow, I want to pray that the Lord will lead you to a good, healthy fellowship that he can bless you in and strengthen you for, that you can be a blessing to, and that they can be a blessing to you. Okay? Is that cool?
Absolutely, brother.
Let's do it.
Yes.
Father, come before you right now, lift up my brother, and I just ask you to bless him. He's just looking for more of your people, more of you, more of your touch, maybe more contacts where he can reach out to people when he needs help and also be there for them when they need help. And what he's looking for, Lord, is to just get in deeper into your community. Now, nobody knows your people like you, and nobody knows where he would fit better than you do. So open up a door. Make it just apparent. Make it just obvious. It's from you. And that this opportunity to fellowship and connect won't be anything but a blessing for wherever he goes, for whatever he does. It would just reinforce his faith to be strong in you, to be faithful in you, to be comfortable in you, and to just have his heart open and for you to move upon him as you desire. Bless him, because he's got this heart that's trying to get there, and you love that. And we love you because you care for us that way. We ask you to pour out your blessing on him in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. And I think it's really important that we as believers, it's not that I want to just be always, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Although that's what's in my spirit, I just think it's important that we get feedback from varieties of other believers and hear other opinions.
Absolutely.
Not opinions on theology, maybe, but just opinions on encouraging each other.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, that's one of the things. And I will say that for me, it's been a little easier being born and raised Jewish than being Baptist and Pentecostal. It's been easier because I just look and smile and just.
Yeah, you got quite a variety.
Yeah, it gives me a little bit of diversity right there. But I'm praying the Lord he'll bless you in that, brother. I really believe that.
Thank you, brother. And thank you for the prayer, and God bless you and your ministry. I appreciate it. I look forward to it every day.
Thank you, bro. You take care.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. I didn't pay him to say that either. Okay, I'm just saying that.
I think that's a good point that Brother Jesse raises, Dave, because, you know, you can go to church a lot but still feel you lack that connection. And I think that's a very interesting point. I'll say that.
So in some church, so here's how I'm just going to give the overall. So I'm going to be careful here a little bit, but so some churches have really excellent smaller group communications, and actually some people are more connected to the smaller groups than the larger groups. But what also is helpful is just to know, you have to understand that the body of Christ is not a denomination. I mean, if you don't get that, you're lost. I mean, you don't understand. The knee is not the elbow. It's like just that simple. It's just, there's nothing else to say. And every once in a while, you have to take your hand and scratch your knee, and then you have to take your other hand and scratch your elbow. It's like, that's just part of it. And it's like, that's the beauty of it, not the badness of it. What's wrong is that when we draw the line so intense that we won't fellowship with one another because we see, you know, eschatology different or something. It's just like, that is so, like, could you... What's so amazing about that is, just in case anybody's wondering from a historical point of view, they've been seeing eschatology different for 2,000 and 3,000 years. So no worries. It's all the same thing. Okay, sorry. All right. Get me on that soapbox. I will never get off it. That is one of my big... Okay. All right. Let's move on. All right. We are in Acts 17. And I just want to bring this up. We don't spend a lot of time in this, but and then we'll do trivia when we get back because my time is super tight. But this is an interesting thing. So in Acts 17:1, it says, "Now Paul and Silas traveled throughout the towns of Amphipolis and Amphipolis." You know, I can't even talk today.
That's a tricky one, though.
I'm usually better than this. But anyway, and Apollonia and came to Thessalonica. See, I can do that one. Thessalonica, thanks. Where there was a Jewish synagogue. As was Paul's custom, he went to the synagogue service, okay, for 3 Sabbaths in a row. Okay, so just stop right there and just, I don't want to get into the bigger part of it yet, but I want to stay on the smaller part. Paul had a custom. Not every custom you have is bad. Not every tradition you have is bad. It's bad when the tradition supersedes the word of God, which was the big problem with the Pharisees. It's bad when the traditions or the customs take such a powerful element that they can distract from the purpose of all things, and that's to draw closer to the Lord. If your custom is you are repetitive in a model of prayer, but in that repetitiveness are not actually talking to God, then you're not doing yourself any favors. If you're just saying it to say it, I say the Lord's Prayer every day. Okay, I'd have nothing wrong with somebody saying the Lord's Prayer every day. If you mean it, to say it means nothing. To mean it means everything. And so therein lies the difference. And by the way, Jesus said, he didn't say pray these words. He said pray this way, substantially different. But that's not the point. The point is simply this. It's not that traditions are bad. And I have some, in my devotions, I have some traditions that I use. Now, I'm not, you know, it's like if the Lord, if I don't think I'm supposed to do it or I won't say it or process it, I won't. But I use them. And they are, in a sense, they're a comfort. But they're not a comfort to replace God. They're a comfort for me to push closer into God. And that's what you got going on. So Paul, he had a custom. He went to the services all the time. He thought it was great. See, you can't. See, this is so funny that Dr. Jesse called in because, see, he went to different synagogues all the time. It's okay. It's all right. See, it's all right. Paul did it. Okay, cool. Wherever he went to different places, doing this. Yeah, got it. It's totally cool. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with keeping your home base and making sure you take care of home because that's what Scripture tells you to do. There's nothing wrong with saying hi to your brothers and sisters in a few different areas. That stuff's great. Don't let your traditions take over, but don't ignore some of those things the Lord's brought in your life that are helpful. Those are cool too. All right. I'll just stop there because I can just keep going and you guys will never. Okay. We'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Since the dawn of the internet, people have been looking for a website they can be proud of without costing an arm or a leg. People want a quality website to promote their ministry, business, hobby, or passion. Introducing Cowpunch Sites. Cowpunch Sites can help you create and maintain a quality website. From design to security, Cowpunch does it all. Cowpunch is a family-owned and operated business, taking a fresh approach to business. Lots of clients at lower prices. Make mom happy.
The most significant benefit of working with Cowpunch Sites is that you work with real people, not cheesy templates. No outsourcing. It's $57 a month, and there's no setup fee and no cancellation fees. When you go to cowpunchsites.com/dad, that's cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's me. Oh, did I mention that it's $57 a month? Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no bull.
Dave, this is a nice radio station.
Oops, sorry. That's Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no baloney. There, that's better. Cowpunchsites.com/dad.
Not wanting to miss a moment, talking about the moment with Kurt Warner.
Everything looks like
you shouldn't go forward. You know, you can't take another step. You know, Peter, you can't step onto water. You just can't do it. Where we've got to step towards that faith, and we've got to trust God that He's got something awesome for us. And there's no question that that's an underlying theme in this show and in all of our lives, is that we've got to step out in faith if we ever want to be what God's called us to be.
The David Spoon Experience.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I have wondered about him. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He's married to his best friend Noel, has 3 children, 6 grandchildren, and a dog named Bert. He has 3 separate ordinations from 3 different denominations, and is a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theological studies, and has his doctorate of strategic Christian ministry. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people will have to listen to find out.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Getting ready for your next trivia question. Now, I'm going to have to help a little for a couple of people. Remember, we're doing what book this is in and the first verse, okay? So this is a New Testament book and a Pauline epistle, okay, which is not the wife of an apostle, okay? All right. Which book starts with Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God? Which book, Pauline means Paul. Which book starts with that, if you think you know? Where am I? 972-445-0770. That'd be the number to call. You can text 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Okay? All right. We got that. We're going to delay a little on the jokes because there's only 3 jokes and there's only 2 of them that are funny. So I'm like, I'm not as committed to the process is all I'm saying. All right, so which of the Pauline epistles started with this thing? Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Which one starts with that? If you think you know, reach out to us, let us know. That would be helpful. I want to go back to this passage. So I want to talk about something that's probably as important, and I'm not going to get into the specifics as much as I'm going to get into the outline. I'm not picking up the tree. I'm picking out the forest. So I want to make sure you understand where I'm going. In the book of Acts, after 17, Paul's like, as was Paul's custom, he went in the synagogue service, and for 3 Sabbaths in a row, he interpreted the scriptures to the people. So for 3 times in a row, was they going there for 3 weeks? 3 weeks in a row he went, and what he was doing, he was interpreting the scriptures with people. Verse 3, he was explaining and proving the prophecies about the suffering of the Messiah and his rising from the dead. And you just look at that, and you have to take a step back. First, what was it that Paul was explaining? What was it that he was proving to the people but the prophecies? You want to blow somebody's mind, you start doing studies and you start learning about the prophecies and the fulfillment of prophecies from the Old Testament to the New Testament, how that Jesus, listen to this, and you got to give credit to some of the theologians, Jesus, on his last 3 days, fulfilled more prophecies in one day than anybody could ever imagine. The statistical analysis by Josh McDowell, who quoted another source, I'll say that, said that if you could imagine the state of Texas, I want you to imagine the state of Texas. I'm not brilliant, but the state of Texas is pretty big, right? Now, I want you to imagine dollar coins. Okay. Now I want you to imagine the entire state of Texas. The entire state is filled up 3 feet high with $1 silver coins. Okay. Now just wait. And on one of those coins, in all the state of Texas, there is a small red X. The statistics of Jesus fulfilling all of the prophecies on the 3 days, the death, burial, and resurrection, it is far more difficult for Jesus to have done that than for you to find that silver dollar. How about that? And you're just like, what? Wait, whole state of Texas, 3 feet high, silver dollars, 1X. Are you telling me that it's far more easy for us to find the X, the one silver dollar in the entire state of Texas, than Jesus could have fulfilled? Because he would have had to control, watch this, not just the weather, the universe, the Roman culture, and everything else. But then when he's dying, how is it that he can make people do things? It's like it's so far past the norm. And the reason that I bring this up is because prophecy and fulfillment of prophecy is one of the coolest things ever. The problem that happens for some people is they get so deep into it, they start to forget about the relationship part, and you know that's not the way to go that. That's not the way to do that. But if you are demonstrating from the scripture, you have to love Paul, who will not – he's not using a multimedia screen, right? He's not using a – now, look, I like some of the videos that we have in the church. Some of them – I love it when they do the announcements that way, plus with live people. I kind of like both. And so, you know, I love it, love it. And I love the way they're doing some of that stuff. So cool. It's wonderful. It's awesome. Paul just opened up the book and said, see here, it says this. See here, this is how this was filled. See, this is says this. This is how it was fulfilled. Not only did he do that, just so you can know, but he demonstrated that the prophecies about the Messiah had to do with suffering and that the reigning part actually had to do with the resurrection. So he... That's already a huge challenge for a lot of people because they're like going, no, no, no. Jesus is supposed to deliver us from the Roman army. And it's like, I don't think you guys are quite getting this. And so he would keep going through that. And the reason that I mention that is because in the scripture itself is an incredible amount of power and truth and proving and declaration. Because at the heart of the gospel and the heart of prophecy fulfillment is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Because you tell me everything else you want to, and without the resurrection, it's just a cool story, and there's nothing else to it. And Paul said, if we are only in this life, if there's no resurrection and our faith is only for this life, we are of all men most miserable. And you think, why? Because we're laying it all out there, trusting in God and betting on eternity with God. So we are either the biggest fools or the wisest quiet people ever. And I say that simply by pointing that Paul said this very thing. And so it's superb to understand, superbly important, that prophecies in the Old Testament point to the New Testament, okay? And the prophecies in the Old Testament declare Jesus Christ as the suffering of the Messiah, and they declare Jesus Christ as raising from the dead. And he just spent 3 weeks hammering that and hammering that and hammering that because of all the things that are going on. When you think about all the struggles and all the finances and all the things, resurrection from the dead changes every single game there is, period. That's at the core of the gospel. And then he just tells them, right in that next verse, this Jesus I'm telling you about is the Messiah. It's like, this is it. It's like, wow. He's not even giving any room. You understand that? And the reason I'm harping on this is because in every one of your study Bibles, most of you have a study Bible, or most of you have a pretty nice gift Bible. There is always in there, in every one of those, this little section that talks about the prophecies in the Old Testament, fulfillment in the New Testament. And they list, I don't know, there's a bunch of them from, of course, Isaiah 53, but it's so fascinating. Get that in your Bible and read it. You will be like, whoa. And there's more. But just in your study Bible, in your personal, anything, there's thousands upon thousands of these all over the internet, all over study Bibles, materials, everything. It just talks about some of the core, most basic ones. And even those are just impossible to calculate the fulfillment of it. It's just like, that's how powerful and wise God. God has never failed with a single prophecy ever. You know what prophecy we're waiting on? He's back. That's what we're waiting on. Right? How great is that? It's like, oh, all of those prior give evidence to that which is coming. Hallelujah. Jesus is coming again and soon. That's just awesome. Don't you love that? I just love that. I'm sorry. I love it. All right. Wait, trivia question. Trivia question. Which book, which Paulinian epistle starts with Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God? Which one is that? Romans, the first one, the very first verse. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated for what? The gospel of God. Servant of Jesus, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, the good news that comes from God. What's that good news? Jesus Christ is Lord. Died for your sins. He rose again, ascended to heaven, and he's coming back soon. Okay, loving it. All right, folks, we'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience? Imagine yourself on a rocket ship racing at 1,000 miles an hour into space. Once there, you can sense the power and the presence of the majestic and the divine. You forget about your troubles and your fears, and you just float in peace without a worry in the world. There are no struggles, no pain, no discomfort. It's soothing, calm, comfortable. But then, the show starts. And you realize that none of that stuff has anything to do with the show. What were you thinking? The David Spoon Experience. Only for the brave of heart and the bored.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
So the situation for the woman turned out to be fine. But remember, he's there with Jairus, and Jairus' daughter is dying. Verse 35, while Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader, and said, "Your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid, just believe." This is a situation for Jairus that went from worse to the worst. All right, you know how we said it can go from bad to worse? We were talking about that. Well, it can go from bad to worse to the worst. And this is the worst. The guy's daughter died.
Oh, she wasn't just really sick.
She died dead. And they even said to her, "What? There's no point in talking to this guy anymore. This is over. Situation done." And that's how a lot of us process. Situation done. But then Jesus does what Jesus does because he's so amazing. He overheard what they said to him. They didn't say it to Jesus. They said it to the guy. They said it to Jairus, right? And they said to him, "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just believe." So there are three things that you can't miss this. Number one, Jesus is telling the guy whose daughter just died, ignore them. It's like, can you imagine? Okay. The doctor just pronounced her dead. Yeah, ignore that guy. What? He's the doctor. Ignore that guy. That's just like the blind man who are like people are telling him, be quiet, stop it, stop it, and he shouts out all the more. It's at some point you just got to ignore any external noise that hasn't been sanctioned by God and just go, I'm not paying attention to that. On Christ the solid rock I stand. Oh, welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. Getting ready for your next trivia question. If you guys don't get this, I'm going home. All right. Which book starts this way in the Old Testament, in the Torah, in the beginning, God? Which book starts that way in the Old Testament, in the Torah? In the beginning, God. 972-445-0770 is the number to call. 214-210-8483 is the number to text. And david@hemustincrease.org is the email. In the Is that true, any translation? I think that's right. I'm just pretty sure. Okay. I'll have you double check. You should probably know. So we got that going. Let me do this. I'm going to send you up to the website. And the reason I'm going to send you up to the website is not overly complex. If you can give, that's fantastic. We appreciate all giving. If you can't give, but you can pray for us, that's fantastic. If you want to fill out a praise or a prayer form, nobody gets that information. It only goes to just a very select few people. And you get prayed over, or if you want somebody to say something on your behalf on the radio show, we'll do that. It's not a problem. But you got to check out the website in order to do that. So that's the big thing. And then while you're there, we're like, hey, while you're there, you can give. That'd be great. Yeah. So try that and check out he must increase.org.
Prayer request?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Praise report?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeMustIncrease.org.
HeMustIncrease.org.
I hope that's not my car today when I go home.
That was a lot going on there. I hope it's not either.
Yeah, okay. All right, trivia question. So if you called in and you couldn't get through or something, you can call back. Nobody's going to, oh, they called back a second time. The question, which book in the Old Testament, in the Torah, we just talked about the Torah yesterday, starts in the beginning, God? Now, I just want to point this out. There is only two translations. Two out of 100 translations that say in the beginning when God. So I mean, this you're pretty much right there. If you can't figure that out, I can't help you. All right. So which book in the Old Testament starts that way? If you think you know, you can reach out to us 972-445-0770. Also 214-210-8483 or send an email david@hemustincrease.org. Al did that on purpose, by the way. I know he did. All right. We do have somebody calling in. We will give them a chance because we might want them to answer before, if they're going to answer a trivia question. If not, we still got to do our history and then back into more teaching. A lot of stuff going on. I could use some prayer for those of you who are trying to figure out, hey, how you doing? What's going on? A lot of warfare. Physical warfare, just the weirdest things have been going on since I've been speaking. So that's okay. You just keep praying for me. We'll just stand firm in the Lord. They're ready to answer? Okay, send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hello. Hi, David. It's Deborah.
Hi, Deborah. Always great to hear from you. Love it. Love it.
Thank you.
All right, here we go. Not a hard one. I mean, I'm going to be honest, but a good one. Here we go. Which book in the Old Testament, in the Torah, starts with, in the beginning, God?
Genesis.
That is correct, Amanda!
You know, I got to go for the easy ones.
You got to keep that percentage really high, right? I remember one time, so Evie Hill, great preacher from the past. One time I got up, it was like 2 in the morning, couldn't sleep, whatever. Turned the TV on, and there was Evie Hill, and he preached those four words and nothing else. And he preached for an hour. He just, in the beginning, God. And he went down the whole list. In the beginning, not science. In the beginning, not politicians. In the beginning, I just kept going and going and going. And then he just goes, in the beginning, God. Never forget that. Oh, it was so good. So, excellent job. Excellent work, Deborah.
All right, thank you. Now have a good afternoon.
All right, God bless.
God bless. Bye-bye.
All right. Okay, let's roll into history.
Let's go live it in the past. Let's go live it in the past.
Here we go with history. Today is National Air Traffic Control Day. Now, here's something really funny about that. Noelle's sister, September, her son, Drew, is an air traffic controller.
Oh, wow. Pretty cool job.
Yeah. He's got, it's really quite fascinating. He really has, a lot more knowledge between him and her brother-in-law who's at JPL, or my brother-in-law who's at JPL. There's a lot of air stuff going on. All right. Today is also Umbrella Cover Day. I don't know what that is. Is that like?
I think is that when you put the umbrella into something to cover it up or something else?
No, I think it's something. You know what? I don't even know.
I think I'm right.
Okay, it doesn't really matter. And today is National Fried Chicken Day.
Every day.
How is it possible healthy. Not to? I mean, come on.
Right.
All right. 1785 on this day, the dollar became the monetary unit for the United States. Okay, got that. And then 2 years later, same day, they designed the first coin, the 1 cent coin that people have been trying to get rid of for years. That's not helping. Also on this day, 1885, a vaccine against rabies was proven by Louis Pasteur. And then finally, 1933, the first Major League All-Star baseball game is played in Kaminsky Park with the American League winning 4-2. There you go.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. Eric came up with another translation that doesn't – if it's not saying in the beginning God, then just use it as a reference.
Right.
Okay, there we go. That was a nice way to say that. Okay. All right, back to the text. To the text we go, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, creatures of all ages and sizes. Here we go. So, in a nutshell, we are at this point where Paul has he's at Thessalonica 3 weeks in a row. He's been talking prophecy. I mean, it's such a cool portion because, people don't really talk a lot about it. And I think some of the prophetic conferences are cool. You can OD a little, and if you don't keep a steady diet, if you go too far in anything except for drawing closer to the Lord, you get yourself in trouble. I mean, I've been around 45 years as a Christian. I'm telling you, that's the truth. And I've been on all those diets, so I kind of know a little bit about that. And if it works for you, that's huge, right? It's really important. But I want you to recognize this is about Jesus being the Messiah. So here you pick it up at verse 4 in Acts 17. Some who listened were persuaded and became converts, including a large number of godly Greek men and many important women of the city. I mean, people were persuaded. They listened to the prophet. They were like, hey, that's cool. Oh, I never saw that prophecy before. Oh, yeah. Oh, I guess Isaiah 53 is like painting a whole different picture. Wow. Right? Verse 5. But the Jewish leaders were jealous, so they gathered some worthless fellows from the street to form a mob and start a riot. It's like you're like going. So they were jealous. Why were they jealous? Well, when anybody changes allegiances or moves from point A to point B out of somebody else's control, people don't like it. And they tend to react. So I'll say something that I'll have to be semi-careful with saying it because I don't have all evidence, only partial evidence. But in many communist countries, when people switch their allegiance from the communist government to a deity, it takes away the power of the government and they don't like it. So then they put restraints and elements in to restrict the religious freedom in order to get compliance from the people. I know you think I just described America, but I'm not. But we are a lot closer to that now than we've ever been. It's like, wow, what happened? So the idea is that when people make an allegiance, and when people find out that you have an allegiance to the big G and not the little G, and they're little G supporters, they don't like you. They don't like it. Because it challenges where they're finding their security. It challenges where that what they think is truth. And we've said this before, and I tend to sometimes a little bit off the handle. You know, it does true. But look, if we go through this whole thing and we as Christians are wrong, those people, they have nothing to worry about. But if we go through this whole thing and they find out we're right, they got a lot to worry about. All of them. All of them. So it's like from that point of view, what they do is they get these worthless people, people that will comply to do terrible things, forming mobs and starting riots. And then what do? They look at the next, right after the fourth, starting a riot, they attack the home of Jason, searching for Paul and Silas so that they could drag them out of the crowd. Not finding them, they dragged out Jason. Hey, guess what? They couldn't find Paul and Silas, who created this problem for them. So who did they go after? The friends of Paul and Silas. The people connected to them. Jason then became a target. And so my point in saying that, I'm trying to say it very, I'm trying to say it wisely, is look, it happens often. Many people were believed and persuaded, results in their conversion. The individuals change their allegiances to those on the losing side. They tend to become jealous. And in this case, the Jewish leaders instigated a mob riot with worthless and uncharacteristic people. They targeted the friends, the associates, since they couldn't directly reach Paul and Silas. You know what? They can't directly reach Jesus, but you are a friend of Jesus. We even have a hymn that says that. What a friend we have in Jesus. Well, they can't get to Jesus directly, can they? Now, you know exactly what I'm saying. It's like, so they're going to try and get to you. Why? Because they don't want to lose control. Why? Well, primarily because they're full of sin. If you just remember part of the garden process and the sin nature that's in man, oh, you'll be like God. It's like you'll be in charge. You'll know everything. Nobody will tell you anything. You'll be in charge. You'll tell people what to do. Oh, like the sin in the garden. Oh, okay. All of it goes back to like the sin in the garden kind of thing. There. Okay. All right, we'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience.
So we chatted about it on the phone, and it turned out that he had a pastor who used to be his pastor reach out to him and say, the Lord put you on my heart. You know, I want to know what's going on with your life. He had another person say, hey, if you got this situation, let me know. He was talking to me. He was talking to somebody else. And it was like he had like four sources of support and didn't even realize that what he was seeing was the circumstance, which we all do. And when we pulled it back and looked at it, he's like, yeah, there's like four different places he was getting support from. And it's like, that's amazing. But see, that's not that amazing in the context of just what Peter and John said when they went into the temple. You, children, you men of Israel, why does this miracle surprise you? Why does it even surprise us? God does so many things to reach to us and to speak to us. He is never, let me just say this, he is never absent from your tragedy. He is never disappeared from your circumstance. It's never happened. Long before you said yes, God said yes to you. Just think about the level of that, the commitment that would take. That means that God looked at my life and in spite of my insanities, said, yeah, we'll take him. Is that amazing? Think about how amazing that is. And so I was somebody had sent me a video about somebody who had an experience in heaven. And I was like, well, you know, I like some of those, but some of those are kind of weird and squirrely and da 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 da. And then the Lord was reminding me about my own dream that I had about making it in heaven, where God had the king had his arm around me and he's showing me different things in my life. And here's where you accepted my son. Let me tell you something. God will reach you and touch you and speak to you. The biggest question for all of us is, are we listening? Do you remember what happened when the Lord spoke over Jesus? The Father spoke from heaven over Jesus. And the Bible says that the people thought that it thundered. But it didn't thunder. God spoke. See that right there? That right there. Because what we do is we think, what thundered? But it's God speaking. The biggest question is, are we listening?
If Jesus
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Is your last trivia question. It is rather easy. It is one of the Gospels. Which book starts the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham? Which book starts that way? Which book starts that way? The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Connecting Jesus to the Davidic and the prophetic and the promise to Abraham. Which starts that way? If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Which book, which of the Gospels starts the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham? That is your question. I have elected to do three of the goofy jokes. And the reason is, you want to know what the reason is? I'm going to tell you, Dynamite, you know what the reason is? Because if I don't, I'll carry this piece of paper around for like the next month.
I believe it.
And I just don't want to do that.
Let's hear them.
Okay, there we go. All right, so you ready? The first one's second one's okay, and the third one's better. Okay, here we go. Here's the first one. How do pigs say goodbye? How do pigs say goodbye with hogs and kisses?
Okay. You're killing me, Smalls.
Yeah, that one is pretty bad. What do you get if Bach falls off a horse but has the courage to get on it and continue riding? You get Bach in the saddle again. Okay, that's bad. But this is not too bad. What is an owl's favorite mystery? A whodunit. Okay, that's all I got. Come on, a whodunit. That's not that bad. All right, somebody's ready to answer a trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Gary. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good, Gary. How you feeling?
Well, okay, I guess.
All right, well, I want to pray for you, so.
Okay.
I mean, that's one of the things I want to do. But now this was kind of easy, right? Because I kind of gave it away in the it's one of the Gospels kind of things. But let's do it, and then we'll move forward on it. Which book starts with the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham?
The Gospel of Matthew.
That is correct, Mundo! That is exactly right. Connect, and the first, you know, that's where you get back into that reference of Romans 1:16 to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So Matthew is written primarily to the Jewish people, which is why he doesn't explain as many of the traditions as Luke does or as Mark does. So it's like, wow, you can get to see that in its fulfillment. Let me pray over you, brother, okay?
Okay.
All right, let's do it. Father, we come before you right now, and I lift up my precious brother, and I ask you in the name of Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit that you would heal his body. He needs strength. He needs healing. He needs revitalization. You know what, Lord? He needs a touch from heaven. That's what he needs. He needs heaven to interfere in earth and demonstrate the power that comes in your name. We just pray for our brother. We ask you, we plead to you to just pour it out upon him. Let him be refreshed, strengthened, and renewed. I pray that he would actually have a better next couple of days than he even anticipated, and that we would bring healing into his entire system. In Jesus' name, we're asking you, please have mercy, grace, kindness, compassion, and strengthening of our brother. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. I'll be praying for all of you, and God bless you.
You too, brother. Bye-bye. All right. Let's see. Tomorrow, I should let you know this now, we got a couple of Izzy's. Now, Izzy is Isaiah. For those that don't know, in the Jewish realm, Isaiah is called Izzy. Okay, my dad had a partner named Izzy. It was Isaiah. Okay, that's kind of how you grow up. Okay, great. But I want to come down to this last portion. I don't want you to kind of miss this. I don't want to, you know, drag something down where it doesn't need to be dragged down, but I do want you to see it. It is rather important, this one particular portion in Acts 17. So in Acts 17, we're going to pick it up at let's pick it up at verse 6, but then we're going to probably go all the way down to 9. Okay, we'd already talked about that they were searching for Paul and Silas. Actually, maybe we should go up just a little bit. So go up to, they attacked the home of Jason, searching for Paul and Silas, and could not, so they could drag them out in the crowd. Verse 6, not finding them there, they dragged out Jason and some of the other believers, not just Jason, but other believers too, instead, and they took them before the city council. Paul and Silas have turned the rest of the world upside down, and now they are here disturbing our city, they shouted, and Jason has let them into his house. They are, look at what they're doing. I mean, they are creating, or all guilty, of treason against Caesar. Listen to this. Treason. That is the high-level crime. They're guilty of treason against Caesar, for they profess allegiance to another king, Jesus. The people of the city, as well as the city officials, were thrown into turmoil by these reports, but the officials released Jason and the other believers after they had posted bail. Usually it takes money to get somebody out. So here's the real element in this. They accused them of treason against the government because they believed in Jesus. You can't make this up. You can't. I'm not even looking for anybody to go, well, are you trying to draw a parallel to America 2023? I'm not drawing any parallels. What happens is that when governments lose control, and it's been this way for 2,000 years at least, right? And longer, right? Children of Israel needed to get delivered out of Egypt, right? When they lose control, they go nuts, right? I mean, there's nothing weird about that. It's been going on for ages. And because there's a profession of another king called Jesus, they're accused of treason. Well, I got a message for you. If it comes down to it and you have to choose between your country and your Savior and Lord, you better be ready to make the decision. People think that's a joke. Ain't no joke. Oh, this stuff's been really good, Dave, but, you know, I got, you know, a lot of stuff to get to. Mm-hmm. Any denial of Jesus Christ as Lord is not something that's going to be well received by Jesus Christ the Lord. And so you get to this and you think, so they believe Jesus is the Messiah. They believe that he, you know, resurrected, ascended. How is that affecting the government? Just wait. And here's how it affects the government. The government's losing control. And if you think for one second that governments that are in play, when they're in opposition to God, do you think for one second they're interested in losing control, you're nuts. Government, we don't want to be in control. Just come wipe us out. We don't care. It's like that whole thing. It's like you got to be kidding. Listen, you have to make a choice. In our country, there's not supposed to be a kingship, right? But regardless, you have to choose King Jesus or any other sovereign and Lord. So how does that square away when you talk about, yeah, but you're supposed to submit or obey to the laws of the land? As much as they don't contradict the laws of God, because Peter made it very clear, and we've already covered this prior back, it is better to obey God than man. And when government institutes things contrary to God, so for example, they start telling you to kill people because that's their command, you don't just kill people. Right? It's like, no, it's ridiculous. So you, there's some of this you just look at and go, some of this is kind of obvious, some of this is kind of plain. Here's the biggest thing. You have to have an allegiance to Jesus Christ as king. There is no other king. There is no other person that can save you. There is no other person who is Lord. There is no other person at all, no other being at all, that will have the entire heavenly, earthly, and below earthly people bow. They will bow and they will confess Jesus Christ is Lord. So you have to choose how you want to approach that. And I know that's like very sobering. I know it's sobering, but you know what? You believe in Jesus for a reason. And he's committed himself to you and shown you and never failed you. So as some of the great, great men of God, some of the great people of God and servants of God have said, he's never done me wrong. Why would I ever deny him? Right? He has never done you wrong, ever. He has only done everything with your best interests in mind. That is not somebody that you get to ignore or bail on, okay? I think that's important. And I think if you're afraid, and some people are, that you ask God to help you overcome fear through the power of faith and confidence in the diligence, the grace, and the mercy of God, okay, through Jesus Christ. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas, taking a 22-and-a-half-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.